Can't touch you. Can't touch you.
So hard makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and two right feet. Okay, I'll stop. Pretty tight for a minister though, right? Okay, so that auditory delight was, if you remember, MC Hammer from the 90s. And less well known. Strangely enough, I was talking to Gabby the other day and she was saying that Sean still has his hammer pants and pulls them out and does some dance moves when he's feeling a bit down. So there we go. Well, Stanley Burrell was his name, and you all will know him as MC Hammer. He is a brilliant example of what not to do with your money. And today we are talking about giving. So I thought I'd do that little introduction. You get a bit of context so you know who I'm talking about in case you missed the 90s. MC Hammer, after this hit, and hits like Too Legit to Quit, ended up being worth $33 million. It's a lot of money, especially back in the 90s. And within a short amount of time, he went into bankruptcy. So he did not spend his money well. What he did was he had a crew of like 40 people who always hung around him, and he paid them, you know, and he bought stuff for them. His money went into a big mansion, which he extensively renovated. And most infamously, he had a golden toilet. Yes. So after a few a major lawsuit and a dwindling record sales, his money went downhill. And it's interesting because he was a Christian guy, actually, before he did this, so you know, he was trying to form a Christian rap group, which wasn't very successful. But he did an interview, which reminded me of this parable. And he said in his interview, he was talking about money and how much money he gets. And he said in this interview, you know, I should have this money. I get however much I get because I work hard. And I work hard and I get my money, and if that's a lot of money, so be it. That's what I deserve. Which is really interesting, because then after all of this stuff happened, he reflected on his time. And in another interview, he said, my priorities were out of order. My priorities should have always been God, family, community, and then business. But I was all business, business, business. And this whole business, you know, and the lifestyle that went with it caught him up. It caught him up and it drew him away from God. And it didn't pay off. It did not pay off. Now, I haven't been to many of your homes yet, so I don't know if you have a golden toilet. I assume not. But MC Hammer, who apparently now is a Christian minister, he had a poor attitude towards God and towards money in the prime of his career, when he had the most money to be able to give to the church, to charity. And we want to make sure that in each of us, we try and get rid of that little MC Hammer inside of us, you know, that keeps the money for ourselves, that we want to live a lavish lifestyle. And so today we're going to look at what the right attitude is from our scriptures. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us the truth. And Lord, at times we forget that. So Lord, thank you for reminding us, giving us this opportunity to remember how to use our money, how to view it, and how to honor you with it. Amen. So if you want to turn back to that Old Testament reading, it's a beautiful reading. It's brilliant. You know when you read parts of scripture and you just think, yes, that's right. This is exactly right. It's like a kind of Christianity and Money 101. And it's beautifully written. So he starts with a song. And he's talking about how everything belongs to God. That's his baseline. Everything belongs to God. And he's talking about at the time they'd just built the temple and they'd asked all the Israelites to contribute to building this temple. And they put a lot of money and a lot of time and effort and wealth into this temple. And he comes out and he sings this song and then he follows it with a beautiful prayer. And that's what we've heard from Nicola this morning. Everything belongs to God, and from that we give back. And in his prayer, he starts with a leading question. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? So they're standing in awe of this temple they've made, and he says, who are we that we've been able to do this? Right from the start, he puts the priorities around the right way, and he's saying all of this is from God. It's only through God's provision to us and his blessing that we are able to give back. Without God, we are nothing. And he continues in verse 16. He says, all the contributions come from God. He isn't counting the personal cost here. And he's not standing up like a lot of kings would have been, saying, look at my wealth. Look what I have done with my own hands. He doesn't do that. He points to God. He gives the glory to God. It's only because of God that he has been able to contribute so generously to the temple, a place where God can be worshipped forevermore. And you know those times that you see someone get up and they say something so humble like this, and they point the glory towards somebody else. I know when I hear celebrities particularly doing that, they get up and they say, oh, no, don't thank me. Thank XYZ, you know, my family, whatever. And you think, what an admirable thing to do. And that's exactly what Solomon's doing. He's putting the glory where it should be. He's acknowledging that God is the one who has given this money. And it's only from those blessings that anyone was able to contribute to that temple. But then he goes on to say how he's given to the project willingly and with honest intent. And he says, and I look around and I see the joyful look on the faces of these people. They've given joyfully. And I kind of think of it like this. You know, I imagine that a church has just built its new church building, if we put it in modern times. And it might have been the case that that's what it's been every step of the way here at GPC, when you install the different parts of the church. You all stand around, you have a look at it, you think, isn't this fantastic? Isn't God good that we've all been able to give to this cause and look what we've made for the glory of God? It's church at its best, isn't it? And the way that people see this, can have this attitude that they're so joyful to give, is because they have that acknowledgement. That acknowledgement that everything is from God and it's God's that you are giving back. And that's how we are joyful and generous givers. And if we're joyful and generous and holding this truth at the center, we're not going to be those kind of begrudging givers that only give a little while they sit on their golden toilet at home. So, in one reading, we've got this beautiful scene where everyone's a joyful giver. And then we've got a wonderful contrast, I love a contrast, in the second reading. So if you want to flip to that reading. And in this reading, the wider context is how there's a man who comes up and he says, you know, Jesus, get my brother to give me my part of the inheritance. And Jesus doesn't get involved in that, but as he does when he's so clever, he gets right to the heart of the issue with a parable and lets the people do the self-reflection to answer their own problems. And in this one, he tells a story, as you heard Nicola read in the second reading, a parable of a man who earns a lot of money through his hard work and some abundance in his crops, some good luck, and he doesn't know what to do with it. He's got too much to store in his barn. So this one also starts with a question, just like Solomon's one did. And this question is, he says, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And if you think about it and you listen to the language in this one, it's very inward focused. So the last one was leading up to, you know, we're nothing without God, everything is God's. And this one is saying, this is my crops. What am I to do with my crops? Very different. He's not giving the glory back to God or that acknowledgement. He's so inward focused. He's so inward focused. He's not looking out to a greater cause, like the temple where everyone can come to worship. He's looking out for himself. If he'd walked out, and in that culture, he probably would have seen a ton of impoverished people that he could have helped. But he doesn't. He says, what am I going to do with it? So he decides to rip his barns down and make bigger barns to hold and store all his wealth so that he can live a happy, comfortable life doing the things he wants to do. Eat, drink, and be merry is his attitude. And that is definitely the opposite attitude of what we heard in Solomon. And then we think about that attitude in our own lives, and we think about maybe our workplaces, and you think, you know, so many people have this attitude of, I've worked hard, you know, like MC Hammer, I deserve my big income. I'm going to do with it what I choose. And it makes sense. If you don't believe that all the good things you have come from God, then it makes sense. You've worked hard and you've got it yourself and you can do what you want with it. And the challenge for us is to be working and living and interacting in a world where the people around us have this attitude, but we need a different attitude. We need our attitude, that acknowledgement of God, to come out of us, to be a lesson to those around us. We need to live differently from those other people. They come to work and they talk about the new car, the big TV, whatever sort of technological gadget is the latest thing. The private schools, the boat. A few of these probably sound very familiar because a lot of you are working in these industries where people are earning a lot of money, or you have done. But are we the same, or are we different? I had a man that I worked for, and he was, you know, in a law firm, so he's a pretty wealthy guy. And as you do, he bought an investment property. And people would say, oh, you know, how's that going? And it was great, because he enjoyed standing up and saying to them, well, actually, it's doing great, and all the profits go to a charity. All of them, not some of them, all of them. And someone will say to him, why do you give away all the profits? You know, what on earth are you thinking? Why don't you just take a bit? You know, why don't you just give 10% away to charity? And he would say, no, I have a generous God who has blessed me with the ability to earn this income, and I'm going to use it to bless somebody else. I mean, what an amazing testimony to the people around him. It's just incredible. Are we living lives, on whatever scale, it might not be that scale, but are we living lives that are getting people to question us, to go, why are they doing that? Why are they using their money in that way? It's an opportunity for us to share our values with them. And when you think about it, when you think about the work that you do or the place that you're at right now, you're here today because God has been with you through it all. God has given you the abilities that you have to earn money. God has given you the experience to carry out the role you have. Every new client is a blessing. A steady income is a blessing from God. God has been there with you in the hard times, maybe times where there wasn't so much money. And he's been with you in those struggles and brought you to the place where you are today. Isn't that an encouraging thought? I always feel like it's a broadening kind of thought. Because it's not just what we're saying, oh, well, everything is, your money is from God. It's actually everything is from God. Money's just a part of it. And God has been working in your life, bringing you these blessings. And it frees us up a little. We're not in this alone. And it frees us up to do God's will with that money. So let's get practical. The parable ends with the sentence, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. So at that time, MC Hammer was not rich towards God. This guy is not being rich towards God. We need to ask the question of ourselves, what does it mean to be rich towards God? What does that mean? There's a picture that I'm going to get put up. This guy is Alan Barnhart. Okay, you might not know him, I didn't. But he's an American businessman, and he does a lot of talks. He runs a business that's worth $250 million And he started that up, well, he took over the family company in the US. He was at university and he was a Christian. And he said he used to pore over the scriptures that gave all of the warnings about wealth, how hard it is for wealthy people to enter the kingdom of God. And he read things like this parable and he wanted to know what it meant to be rich towards God. So when him and his brother took over the company, the family company, they made a baseline living allowance for themselves and their families. And it was a, you know, he says it was a modest middle class lifestyle. Anything over that, they had the discipline to give away. So I'll read you what they did. He says in the first year they were able to give away 50,000, in the second year 150,000, and by 2005 they were giving away $1 million a month. They also have now placed 99% of the ownership in that company in a trust, so that if anything happens to them, those same proceeds will continue to go to charitable aid overseas in developing countries. Pretty incredible. And if you're thinking today, you know, I do want to give, maybe I'm not giving, what amount do I give? You know, and people say, oh, whatever you feel led to give. They're kind of, you know, often people will say, we'll start with the 10% tithe in the Old Testament. But when you hear about Alan, it makes you think that 10% is just, it's not appropriate. Because if he was giving away 10%, it would be nothing. He's giving away 99%. And now, obviously, I'm not saying to all of you, give away 99% of your money to the church. There's many amazing things that we could do with it. It needs to be proportional to what you're earning, and it needs to be a bit sacrificial. So those are the two teachings of Jesus and the apostles on how much you should give. But there's no stated amount. So for some of us, if you're in debt, it will be nothing. If you're earning a little bit, it might be 5%. If you're earning a heap, it might be 99%. It just depends. So I don't have the answers for you. But I can tell you that from lots of studies, Christians are not living up anywhere near to the amount that they should be giving if you look at their incomes. And that's something that at GPC, we want to change. We want to be a church that gives generously, proportionally, and a little bit sacrificially. It needs to hurt. You need to actually give something up to be able to hit that sacrificial giving. So being rich towards God means that we give our money to advance the things that are important to God. That's the basic thing. So for us, as Christians, the most important thing is to be giving to the cause of preaching the gospel. The number one priority for God is that people come to know him. Of secondary concern is the overseas aid agencies that are helping save lives and make life better for people. But there are some amazing agencies that do both. I mean, it's just wonderful work that's going on in this world. You saw World Vision up there before, and there's other ones I'm sure we all support. But we need to start at home. So our first priority has to be God's mission in the area in which we live, and that's Glendowie. And part of that, as we said last week, is inviting people to church, praying, inviting. But also, we've got to do it on a corporate level, because you can reach so much more when you do something as a group. And that costs money. It costs money to run a church. It costs money to do outreach. But it's an amazing investment in God's plans. From the generous giving of this congregation, we now have a youth worker full-time. That's more youth reached for Jesus. We have a community outreach organizer over there. More people getting told of the opportunities to come and hear the gospel from our church. You have two ministers now who are here to enable the worship that we have, and we're able to empower you guys to carry out that mission as we carry it out with you, to seek the lost and the lonely and bring hope to the people of this community. But there are so many more plans that God has for GPC, and it costs money, and we have to fund it somehow. So when we look at our, you know, we've got money in reserves, but we hope that with some awesome plans, we'll wipe that out, and we'll still need more. And at the moment, our incoming is less than our outgoing. So that's something that as a church, we need to reflect on and figure out what we're going to do, because we don't want money to be something that stops us from doing the amazing plans that God has. So, here we go. If you haven't set up an AP, an automatic payment is the easiest way for our treasurer and our parish council to know how much money we've got. So when we want to do a project, we can count on some regular giving. Also, it means that if you're not at church, your money still gets here, because sometimes people don't come for a few weeks, you know, and they kind of don't save that up in the jar, as some responsible people do. And so we miss out. But if you've got an AP, it just goes out. You don't even think about it. You don't have that physical struggle of bringing your cash and pulling it out of the wallet. It's just easier that way. So maybe you're someone who has an AP, but it's good for us annually to review our life circumstances. Can we afford to give a little more? Or has something happened and you need to give a little less? What do we need to do? But the thing is, when we give to the church, it's a duty and it's a blessing. And it helps us to flourish as disciples. And what it does is you can see what it does. You can see what your money is spent on here at the church, and you hear about the cool events that we're running, the light parties, the Christmas stuff. These are cool opportunities for people to come in and hear the gospel. And it's a wonderful thing for us as disciples of Christ to give, to hurt a little, to part with that money. Because as we do, we're giving more control over to God. We're realizing that actually we need to submit everything to God, that everything belongs to God and of His we give. And so it allows us to live radically differently. It gives us that option to be different, for people in our workplaces to see us and to go, what on earth are they doing with their money? It gives us chances to use for evangelism. And I'm no prosperity teacher, so I'm not going to say if you give money, you will reap, you know, 100-fold, because that's just not the case. And sometimes it is, like this guy, Alan Barnhart, you know, he's making, giving away $1 million a month, starting from $50,000 a year. But what I can promise you is that you will reap the benefits of having a humble heart that is overflowing with God's love and His generosity, which is far, far better than a big bank balance. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us. We thank you that all we have is yours. And Lord, it's of your own that we give back to you. So, Father, as this church that seeks to honor you has a time of self-reflection, that we can give in the ways in which you are calling us to do. Lord, help us to reassess our priorities, to really see what's important to you, and to make your priorities our priorities. And for us to put our money where our mouths are and be able to support the things that you want us to do here in Glendowie and beyond. Amen.